on what we know about BYU football's roster for 2026, which positions do we believe the Cougars have to address in the transfer portal? Will the Cougar defense be better this fall with a new defensive coordinator? Will men's hoops stay ranked in the top 10 the whole year? We'll discuss these and many more bold statements.
Blaine Fowler joins the show this morning to discuss the latest on BYU's search for a defensive coordinator and what guys like Satuala and Kingston returning mean for the fall season and which Cougars in the NFL have the best shot to win the Super Bowl this year. We'll count down the top five in Top 5 Tuesday.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, January 6th. I am Jerem Jordan. He is men's hoops ticket coordinator, Dave McCann.
Oh, what a job that would be, especially right now, right, where you can't get one, at least for home games, but you can get tickets for road games. So the University of Utah has finally put tickets on sale to the public for Saturday night's BYU-Utah game.
It took so long.
Up at the Huntsman Center. And we do know this. One thing Cougar Nation enjoys almost more than anything else is taking over an opposing team's arena.
Yes,
and so
I do.
We anticipate a potential hostile takeover of the Huntsman Center on Saturday night, where you can get a ticket for $50 for the same game in 2 weeks down here. I think it's like 300 and something. So a lot of folks are heading north, and can you blame them?
No, and I'm glad that Utah finally opened it up. It took a sec.
They jacked up the price.
Initially, it opened at 37. Suddenly, minutes later, it was 52. I don't know what happened there, but Cougar Nation's going to invade the Huntsman.
If we're going to lose the arena, let's make some money.
And, that's not a bad strategy.
And so that, remember when Jimmer went up there, they took over the arena.
Yep.
Last year, there were a lot of BYU fans up there. But this year, both teams are, you know, on different trajectories. And BYU fans are engaged. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be fun Wednesday night here, and it's going to be fun Saturday night up there.
Yep, can't wait. Big week. Hopefully BYU goes 2-0. Get your tickets now. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Stay in that culture because they can accomplish all of their football goals from within BYU's program. And yet you've got guys like Satuala, Trey Alexander, Porter, Raider DeMooney, and other safeties that have decided to stay. But I think overall they're in a position to do again next year what they did the last two.
Pop-Tarts for everyone. As we discussed yesterday, BYU will have a lot of key players coming back in 2026. If you don't post on social media, apparently you're leaving. I'm a kid. We expect Bear Bachmeyer to be back for year two. I haven't heard officially from Bear, but we're still awaiting official decisions on whether they're going to the NFL from L.J. Martin and Isaiah Glasker. Right. My sense and Spencer's sense is that they're coming back, which is exciting.
Feels like it.
We're waiting for that official announcement. So we have a pretty good idea of which positions BYU needs to fill for next year. So based on what we know, tell me about your portal priorities. Where does BYU have to address certain positions in the transfer portal?
Carson Ryan had a great year. He was such a big part of the offense. He's leaving the tight end spot. To me, on the offensive side of the ball, if LJ's coming back, is number one. And, you know, they're linked to a guy or two out there in the portal, but nothing official. But
shout out to Ryder, Lance.
Shout out. If you can get someone who can give you what Ryan gave you, and really he didn't get utilized like we thought until the latter half of the season, but in that big bowl game, he had 120 yards on 8 receptions. That's the tight end spot. You can get somebody like that.
What are you talking about, Dave? Look at all this production returning from BYU.
Well, you got guys, but what you need is the guy.
Yes.
And
I love that Trevin Osler's on that graphic because he was an lineman, and they're like, we're actually going to make you a tight end. They threw to him, but it was incomplete against Cincinnati. Oh, the only real terrible throw from Bear all year.
Receiver, you're losing Chase Roberts, so you're just losing so much productivity that it's a natural instinct to go get somebody. You got Parker Kingston coming back, JoJo Phillips coming back, and maybe some of the other guys can develop. But that seems like a glaring spot. And there are 4,500 players out there. So even the ones that have committed to other schools, there's guys. And if you need a certain fit for a certain spot, there's plenty to choose from. So if there's panic in Cougar Nation that all these portal signings haven't been announced this week, just kind of, hey, look, there's plenty of guys out there. There's not a high number of needs. Maybe linebacker, if you're losing Jack Kelly. We're waiting on Glasker, but there's a spot there to reinforce. You get Cho Strother back, and that's already a deep area, but you kind of think, hey, you lose Kelly, you need to go find somebody like that. And then the eyes on the running back. If LJ is back like we think he is, man, Cougars are going to contend next year for more than the Big 12. But
let's
even
start
if
there,
he does
though, right?
come back, yeah, let's start there.
Let's start there.
But even if he does come back, and Mo will be healthy, and you know what? I thought DeMooney was fantastic in that bowl game, mm-hmm. and Nawahini. So you're not the cupboard's not bare, but it still kind of feels like you need to get.
Enoch was a senior, so
beef.
He
yeah. So it feels like you need to get some beef in there. That's it. Those are the four spots for me. What about you?
That's it. That's yeah. all that. I'm just kidding.
That's four. That's the only.
I'm just kidding. Number one to me is left tackle. Yeah. It's the most important offensive line spot, as the blind side recounted. You know, Andrew Gentry on the right side might be like, wait a minute, I'm important too. For a right-hander, left tackle is the most important position. You're replacing Isaiah Jada, who did a really nice job. One of the most underrated players on BYU's team. Thanks to him for his amazing contribution this year. Number two, I agree with you, tight end. Carson Ryan, you got to have a pass catcher. Yeah. Keon Need was a pass blocker. Did a good job. When he comes in, though, probably going to be a run.
It's a run. You know? Yeah.
It's nice if he can have a dual threat at that position. Wide receiver is number three for me. Replacing Chase Roberts is a big deal. Can you get a guy that isn't Chase per se, but is just like a top two, top three kind of guy? Parker Kingston can be your number one. He's good enough to be a wide receiver number one. More of a slot guy, right? But he makes big plays. He's got the speed. He impacts punt returns. Does Tiger Bachmeier take on a bigger roll next year? Does Reggie Frischknecht play more? They redshirted
never really
him.
Got off the...
Yeah, and they redshirted him on purpose. He played kind of at the end of the season. Does Tainakua become a guy that gets some run? I think they have some good players in that position. Maybe you add an experienced player there.
Like a Keelan Marion type guy.
Oh, Keelan would have been great this year.
You add back.
Yep. Kicker to me is one too. We'll see what the future looks like at that position, but I wonder if they bring in someone to replace Will Farron, or if they feel like Matthias Leach is the guy, and or Dunn, sorry, Leach is the secondary player.
He's got a big leg.
Is Dunn the guy? I know they have some kickers in the pipeline that they have signed, but that's not for next year.
You can only dream of having someone remotely as effective as Farron.
I know, right?
Over the course of his.
I do want a high 40s guy that you feel somewhat consistently could make 75% of high 40s, 50 plus. I mean, if you get that guy, that's awesome. That'd be great. And then I would like an upgrade of edge rusher. That position can change a game. You get a guy that gets in there and makes a play or two. Tausili Akana at times showed super bright flashes. Hopefully he can continue to develop. Can BYU upgrade that position? Bodie Schoonover against Iowa State, fantastic. There were just a couple moments here. I would like a little more consistency from someone there. I feel like BYU's pretty good at D-tackle with Keanu Tanevasa coming back. Yeah. Justin Kirkland basically redshirted at the end of the year,
so
he can keep a year. John Talmoipeo appears to get another year of eligibility, perhaps. If so, you got 3 for 2. That's great. You're good at that spot. Running back, as you mentioned, that's completely contingent on LJ. If LJ goes pro, then yes, you need an RB1. You need to get a big-time guy. You need to pay for a guy there. If you don't, maybe you need one other kind of backup guy, but you have a 1-2 punch with Martin and Moa that rivals anything anyone else has got in the league, which is pretty good. And so I feel like BYU is in a pretty good spot. I like Nusi Talmoipeo at linebacker. That's why I didn't say linebacker in this. I think
he had a good ball.
And you brought up, I forgot Chase Ryan Struthers coming back from the ACL. Hopefully he's good off that with Ciale Acera in the middle.
Right.
If Isaiah Glasker comes back, you got Nusi, you got some other young studs they like. Come on. Yeah. That's a pretty good group.
This is a good team. This is
they're good again.
That's built to come right back
yep.
and do what they've done the last 2 years, which is be a contender in the Big 12 and be a top 15 team, maybe borderline top 10. But when you look at the scouting report for teams next year, if LJ comes back and you got Bear healthy and LJ healthy, LJ's established himself as the best running back in the Big 12. You got to worry about that. Bear's established himself as a guy who will run you over. But also he threw for 325 yards his last game. Now you got to prepare about that. And that two-headed monster with the pieces we're talking about, that's how you contend with Texas Tech and try to beat them in the championship game.
To beat Texas Tech, BYU will have to crank it up a notch. And if they really want to rival the Red Raiders, they have to get a pass rush. Whoever the defensive coordinator is and his impact on the defense is a massive question too. Maybe that's the biggest question in the portal. Or maybe it's inside, right? It's probably, it feels like, either Kelly Papinga or Justin Inna coming from BYU's staff already. But it's important. And remember, there's no spring portal anymore. It's January 2nd to the 16th. That's when it's open. That's when it closes. You can jump out at any time, but you have to jump in by January 16th. And so we will see at some point a flurry of guys. But it is interesting that we don't have a single one on January 6th that has said, I'm coming. I wouldn't be worried if I was Cougar Nation. They have all kinds of guys that they're being very ambitious. Perhaps the most ambitious the BYU's ever been, by the way, coming off of Kalani Sitake and that new contract and the new investment in NIL and so on and so forth. BYU's never been more aggressive in the portal than right now.
It's not like you're going to Costco because the whole family's coming in. You're going to Days because just a couple of people are coming in. That's how this menu
is. That the local grocery store by you
up
there?
Street.
Yeah.
It's just the...
Shout out.
The menu is limited.
Yes.
Because the needs are small.
Very specific. And when you get a guy in the portal, he's not coming in to just barely play. They come in to have a massive impact.
Yeah.
You're trying to develop the guys behind them to be ready. And BYU has a bunch of those. But you're looking for starters in the portal for the most part.
All right. We'll see where this week brings. Every time you go on social media, kind of expect to see something like, what? We're just locked into that thing. For this next segment, we're going to discuss a number of bold statements. We like to do this from time to time that we've put together with our production team. We'll discuss how bold we think each statement is by ranking on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most bold. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. BYU's defense will be better in 2026 with the new defensive coordinator.
Mm. It was pretty good this
really
last
good.
Year. I would argue that 24 was just a touch better than 25 based on more takeaways. But I'll say a 7. Jay Hill was a great play caller. Not just the whole defense, but who's actually calling the plays on game day. You lose him, that's a big loss. But the bones are in place on that defense. They keep, you know, Kelly Papinga and Justin Enna and Chad and Gary on that defensive line. And you've got guys. TBD on who the play caller is, but... I think, you know, BYU will be similar to what they were last year. I'd love to think that they're going to be better, but they were pretty good, Dave. So can they approximate it? And maybe they're not better, but they're close. That's what I'm hoping for.
I'd say about a 5, because right about there, I think if they can be just as good, they were good enough to get to the Big 12 championship this year. And they were probably good enough to get beyond that, except the offense kept turning the ball over. And it made life difficult. So
you're talking against Texas specifically? Tech,
yeah, because that's the
minus 7 mistake, in the two
right?
games.
In both those games, yeah. So you limit those turnovers and maybe you got a shot. That doesn't mean you win it, but you got a better shot than what you had. I think the defense it's been good enough now for 2 years to know that the play callers, the guys sitting next to Jay Hill, been sitting next to him for every game the last three seasons. So the tendencies and all that stuff, it shouldn't be like, what are we going to do now? Jay Hill's not here. What are we going to do for defense? Plus, Kalani's here, and he'll say, well, it's pretty much my defense. Kyle always said, well, it's pretty much – it's not Scally's defense. It's my defense. And then, of course, Fred, who created the defense, is kind of the king of it all. But Gary Anderson being involved and staying here, as he's already announced, is huge for the defense. So do they have to be that much better? Could they be? Yeah. But if they're just as good, BYU's just as good.
Yes.
They tweak a couple other things and then get just a little further than where they got.
And it brings up a good point in this conversation is BYU should, like in men's basketball, BYU in the offseason is like, how do we beat Houston? We need Kennard Davis.
Yeah.
We need a guy that can guard some of their guys and be physical and knock down threes. If you're BYU football, you have to ask yourself when you recruit, how do we beat Texas Tech?
Right.
Who do we need to beat Texas Tech? That should be the focus.
They're the standard. It used to be other teams. The other teams are not the standard.
It's the fighting Cody Campbells. That's who it is. The Notre Dame game is the biggest game on the 2026 schedule.
I think that's – I'm going to go a 7 because it's almost a no-brainer, right? But then you look at the schedule and you go, you know that game in Salt Lake City with all the newness and the direction of where the rivalry is going to go, that is always going to be the emotional game of the year for sure, especially now as you kind of almost have a reset. In the rivalry, BYU has had such an advantage the last three meetings, and you anticipate that to go on. So it's Utah really fighting for relevancy in this rivalry with the newness. That's a new place for them. So that makes it big. But on a national stage, it's almost like BYU's playing in two fields. On the national stage, it is Notre Dame bar none. Because you win that game, now you're making your case for bigger and better, right? On the local stage, you have to beat Utah.
To keep it going. And it's Morgan Scally's first game as the head man. And it's, you know.
And you're recruiting again. It's all those reasons.
It's massive for all the reasons. This is a 1. It just is.
Yeah.
You know, it's not bold at all. It is the biggest game on the schedule, the most important, the most nationally relevant. Absolutely. Can't wait. Almost can't believe that it's still on the schedule. And I know some BYU fans are still tweeting at me like, they need to come here, then I'll actually know they're playing the game.
Take a chill. They're coming.
The Angry Christians Bowl. Of we didn't get in the playoff, and you know, BYU moved on, Notre Dame did not.
Yeah, you know why Notre Dame's coming? They need us. That's
they needed a game without USC.
They need us.
I'd like to thank USC and their ego for this game.
All right, BYU and Texas Tech will both be back in the Big 12 championship game.
Give me a 4, because I don't think it's super bold, but things have to go BYU's way again. A lot has to go their way. Think of the comebacks that BYU made last year to be in position to be in Arlington. Mm-hmm. I mean, some crazy stuff. So BYU was relatively healthy, especially on offense. That O-line did a great job. LJ Martin and Bear Bachmeyer was better than we could have imagined. I mean, it was awesome. So I mean, chances are BYU is going to be number 2 in the preseason poll. Texas Tech will be 1. Everyone in the offseason will say that's what it's going to be again. Rarely is it. Rarely is it what we think, right, before the season. So that's what scares me a little bit about the idea of, oh, well, yeah, it's going to be that. Football gets weird. I hope BYU is in the Big 12 title game. And the next step, the only next step they can take is winning it.
I love that they have 7 home games.
Finally.
5 in the league. They're built to withstand. They won't be playing a true freshman quarterback next year. I think that's huge.
We'll just say true sophomore.
Yeah, he'll be a true
sophomore.
Keep
that rhetoric.
He was phenomenal this last year for sure. They did have to dig out of a few holes. Can they avoid those? But in the Texas Tech game, it was Bear who sprained his ankle, not Baron Morton. All right? So you got to have some luck. BYU can get in with Texas Tech and have Sorsby sprain his ankle, or he gets banged up the week before. And then all of a sudden, it's a different game. So you're right. It's hard to project which two teams would be in Arlington. The two names we think would be there, who's still standing and how they got there is what plays out. And it always plays out a little differently than we thought. But these two teams are built to reunite this year, the following year.
Hope so.
You know, and I'll tell you what. Keep your eye on Houston. Man, they came out of nowhere. They're 10-3 this year.
Houston.
There are some teams that are building, but these two are clearly the top. And then there's some more separation than I think we've seen in a few years.
Brandon Sorsby did have a leg injury in Lubbock and in Arlington, but it wasn't that big of a deal. Oregon made him look silly, though.
Yeah.
His worst game of the year was against Oregon.
Yeah,
if only it had been in Arlington.
Morton was never really healthy, but against BYU, he didn't turn it over. And when Bear sprained his ankle, that was a game changer.
That was a game changer.
Yeah.
Next up, A.J. DeBonta will finish the season as college basketball's leading scorer.
I'm going to go with a, 4?
Not bold.
Not bold because, right now he is the leading scorer.
Yeah.
And you look at the other leading scorers in the country, and they're most of them are in tough leagues where they're going to be defended. But he's just so smart in how he chooses his shots. He's a good free throw shooter. He gets these quiet 24 points. The other day at Kansas State, that was a quiet 24.
I don't think he broke a sweat.
Yeah. Once he adjusts to the Big 12 style of play.
AKA getting hacked every time and bumped off.
And I loved his response after the game. He was like, well, if that's how it's going to be, I'm going to the weight room. I'm not going to complain
exactly
about it. I'm going to go to the weight room and get prepared.
What can I control? I'm not going to whine.
So I think it's just a superstar that we're watching. So, who's going to out?
I agree. 4. It could happen. I mean, who knows? In the Big 12, it's going to be hard to average that number.
Right.
But if anyone could, it's A.J. DeBonta. Right. I am waiting for a mid-major guy to go up to like 26 to 27 a game. So I looked this morning. Dior Johnson of Tarleton State, he's tied at 23.1. Tayrion Joseph, which sounds like an East-West All-Star, Key and Peele. Prairie View, 23 a game, as you can see. And then old Terrence Brown of Utah sitting there at 21.8. They'll match up with him on Saturday. A.J. could totally do it. It was fun when Jimmer did it his senior year.
And he did it in the Mountain West. 28.9.
A lot of shots. A.J. doesn't force shots. I would like A.J. to still shoot more threes. He's made 12 on the year. He's less than 1 make a game. I want him to be at like 1.5 makes a game. If A.J. forces a 3 here or there, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
It wouldn't be the worst thing. I'd love to see A.J. shoot like a whole bunch more than he is. But part of his magic is he's an unselfish superstar.
He wants to win more than he wants to score.
If Richie's in the corner, somehow Richie gets the ball. Yeah. You know, and Rob up top, it's and
Rob's incredible from three right now. 47%. Catch and shoot, Rob. Excellent three-point shooter.
All right, BYU men's hoops will lose one or less conference games here in January.
Let's look at the schedule to break it down. So Arizona State Wednesday at Utah, Saturday TCU next Wednesday. Those should be three wins for BYU. Then you go to Texas Tech, and that's going to be a big challenge. Utah at home, weird deal to have Utah twice in 15 days.
Yeah.
Monday, number one Arizona. That is the biggest game of the year. And then at Kansas, wow, Darren Peterson playing again, although he didn't play at the end of the game. They lost at UCF over the weekend at 26. Darren's legit when he's playing. I think this is a six. I think this is more on the bold side. BYU's awesome, number nine. But, yeah, those Texas Tech on the road, Arizona at Kansas, 2-1 would be amazing. If you only lost one in January, you're probably in the top five because that means you picked off a Kansas and Arizona and or a Texas Tech.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I thought the win at Kansas State was huge because Kansas State's going to win a lot of home games in this conference. And so to start on the road and get one there, Kansas went on the road to UCF and got beat. To go on the road and just win to start, I think was huge.
They've had trouble there, by the way.
Yeah, well.
For whatever reason.
I don't know why, yeah, but they ran into big trouble. Now UCF's in the top 25. Just throw them in there, right? I think they could easily lose two games.
It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Right, and they could also run the table.
If they run the table, they're in the top five.
Texas Tech on the road is going to be brutal, and they're good teams. So, well, we'll just go in there and win. Yeah.
No, these are big games. We respect those opponents.
Fight to the end and maybe have the ball to take a shot. But I'll tell you, the backside of this month is loaded.
Yeah. BYU is a better team than Texas Tech, but playing there is going to be tough.
Yeah.
Okay, last but not least, men's hoops will win the national championship.
With 10 being the boldest of the bold, I'm going to say 9. And the reason it's
little
9.
Little room there. I like that.
The reason it's 9 is... is BYU hasn't even gotten to a Final Four, right? It's been one Elite Eight in 1981. So just assume that we'll just go do that. Even AJ the other day was saying, you know, made it to the Sweet 16 last year, so it has to be beyond that for whether or not that we had a successful season. And that's still the Elite Eight, the Final Four, and then the championship game. But I love what the pundits are saying. They're saying, hey, they're among the top seeds, the high seeds. High seeds have a chance to advance, and it's all styles make fights in the big dance. So you got to have some luck there. But this starting five is a starting five that could win a national championship.
It's perhaps the best starting lineup in America. They could absolutely make a run. They have one of the best point guards. They have one of the best wings. And then they have perhaps the best player in the country, in A.J. Dubonsa. Right now he's leading the nation in scoring. He's playing like the best player.
6'10 behemoth. To come in and with reinforcement off the bench.
Abdullah Ahmed, yeah. Let's go. So
what'd you give?
In terms of a number, I kind of go five. Because to me, it's not about the natty. It's about the Final Four.
Yeah.
And Elite Eight plus. If BYU gets to the Elite Eight and that's the end of the road, awesome season. You tie the best finish ever. Come on. And by the way, when Danny did, it was a 48-team tournament. This is a 68-team tournament. Just a little different, right? In the modern era, the parity, the ability for BYU to do that. Come on, that would be amazing. But if they can finally get to the Final Four, BYU has the most NCAA tournament appearances without one. That means they go a lot, but they don't make a big run a lot. Can you just George Mason your way into one? Except you have A.J. Dubonsa. It's not the same. But I'm excited to see what this team can do. And it's just the beginning. We're in January. We have one conference game under our belts. We have 17 more. Enjoy this journey. It's going to be
fun. The big dance is 2 months away. That's it. That's right.
Like 2.5 months. Every game, man, must-see TV for this team. Our question of the day is this. What's your boldest take about BYU sports right now? Send them in. Cougs and Cubs Eric Ball on Twitter. BYU will have a better record than Michigan in 2026.
I think he's right.
What would be better than Michigan, do we think? Do we think 10-2 is better? Would it have to be 11-1? Like, are we expecting a 9-3 from Michigan? I don't have a sense of what the expectation is.
Yeah, I don't know about back there, but
Underwood's coming back.
BYU's got a great opportunity to do what they did this year.
Yeah. 11-1, you're thinking?
Maybe.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
BYU women's basketball in Tucson tonight, taking on Arizona. Big 12, 8 o'clock is when the coverage starts on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio. Jason Shepherd on the call.
Sydney Benali's from New Mexico. She's going to have a ton of family at that game in Tucson.
That's a big one.
That's going to be awesome. When we come back, analyst Blaine Fowler weighs in on where he thinks BYU will turn to fill the vacancy at defensive coordinator, plus his hottest take on BYU sports. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Cougars have now won 10 straight games.
You have the top scoring trio in the country, and you have the best player in America.
The grass is not always greener on the other side, and it's awfully green right now at BYU. Stay and run it back at BYU.
Run it back, baby. We're live in Studio B with your Cougar Sports day-to-day play-by-play. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. Our next guest has been calling games for 5,000 years with Dave. His name is Blaine Fowler, and he happens to be wearing the same hoodie, which I assume you got from Sean Olmstead, because I have the same one.
Sean is our fashion consultant.
Dave and I decided that we would give a little love to Sean and that men's volleyball team who start on Friday. You're calling the game on Friday, Jerem, and we're excited to watch. Like, I've never seen him so excited about the talent level on a team as he's excited about the talent level on this one with the transfers from Grand Canyon and some of the newcomers. So, yeah, we're pumped about it. So, Dave and I thought we'd represent men's volleyball tonight or today.
So we're doing it.
You don't have to tell me, man. It's about time you guys join me on this program with some volleyball swag.
So we were talking to Sean, and we always ask him, hey, who would win the dunk contest on the volleyball team?
Yeah.
And he said it would be A.J. Cottle. So now there's two A.J.s.
There's two A.J.s, FYI.
They're both 6'8".
Yep.
And they both fly. And then we said, well, who would win the dunk contest between the two A.J.s? And hey, what did he say, Blaine? He said it'd be pretty close.
He said it'd be pretty close. He says, because A.J. Cottle doesn't play basketball, it's not quite as natural. He said, but he would try some crazy stuff and might surprise some people and probably dunk it. He said, he has a 7'2" wingspan and a 40-plus-inch vertical jump, which is very similar to A.J. DeBonsa. So he says, from a pure athleticism standpoint, they're very similar. And like, that took me back. I was like, holy cow, I can't wait to see this guy.
Yeah, see him
so
Friday
it'll be
night.
Fun.
Friday at 9 Eastern on the BYU TV app against St. Francis. You mentioned some transfers that are coming in for men's volleyball. They got four dudes from Grand Canyon. Let's talk about some of your priorities for BYU in the transfer portal on the football team. What positions need to be addressed based on what we know right now? Because we're still waiting on LJ Martin and Isaiah Glasker, but based on what we know, where does BYU have to address?
Yeah, I think one of the high priorities is at wide receiver. They really need – you've got Parker Kingston, who's a true what I would call a lid lifter, a guy that when the safety lines up and he's in the slot, kind of looks and goes, oh, crap, I've got to start getting in my back pedal at the snap. If I'm too aggressive, this guy's going to blow right by me, right? But you need a couple of those. And when BYU lost Keelan Marion, and even though BYU didn't lose very many people they desperately needed in the portal last year, Keelan is one that they wish they could have kept, right? So I think you need another speedy wide receiver or two, especially with Chase lost to graduation, to complement Parker Kingston. I think JoJo Phillips is a guy that can run by defenses, and he's a big kind of receiver. And Freshnik, I think, is going to be a guy that really comes onto the scene and does some things. But I think they need more depth at wide receiver, so that's important. And as you look at this wide receiver room, there's some Cody Hagan's got great speed. But I'm talking about somebody that can be really, really dynamic and maybe even take some pressure off of Parker Kingston in that fly sweep game type of a guy. And that would be another inside guy and maybe another outside guy. That would be really helpful for this team. And then as far as the running back room, I think you can never be too deep at running back. We see what happened this year where your one and your two both went down. Now, LJ came back quickly from that shoulder injury. Sione never really made it back. He'll be back next year. With the uncertainty of whether LJ goes to the NFL or he comes back, I think that's a high priority. So those are the two high priorities offensively for me, and maybe a tight end. And we know there's a couple of big names that are available out there, both at wide receiver and at tight end, that are possibilities. On the defensive side, you can never have too many linebackers, right? It would be great to pick up another corner for a depth, because BYU's on the defensive side, that you, I could name a starting 11 right now that would be phenomenal. So they could use some depth. And I'm not saying that if they picked up somebody that was big time out of the portal that they couldn't plug themselves right in there, but I think depth is key on the defensive side. When I go through that defensive 11, it gets me really excited about how good they can be on defense next year.
Defensive coordinator, BYU's yet to announce. However, as we've seen so many players recommit to run it back on defense, does that not give you a sense that they already know the direction they're going and the players are pretty happy about it?
Yeah, I think that's the case. Words out of the what they're trying to get done internally. And I think we could all take a clue from some quotes from Kalani and from Gary Anderson, where Kalani talked about the fact that there's so many good people internally that know this defense, that have been part of this, that know the players, the kids involved in the program, and understand what it takes. I think Kalani's going to look internally, I think we'll hear some things here pretty soon. And then Gary Anderson, we all know because we've been around it closely, don't have an understanding of how deeply important Gary Anderson kind of coming out on the show he was on last week and announcing, no, I'm coming back. Like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to Michigan. I'm going to be back here to support Kalani and support this team. And Gary was part of the brainchild that honed this defense in and created it. I think it comes from Fred and Kyle Whittingham. And then Gary was their guy that basically trained up Morgan Scalley and Jay Hill and Kalani and all of these guys. He's been a huge aid the last couple of years. And he has stated, I'm back. We have great coaches that are part of this program already. I'm going to make sure that I give them every bit of attention to help them maximize their skills and talent. And, you know, a lot of people come to me, hey, how about this guy? How about that guy? External guys. They haven't had anything to do with BYU. Why would you go there if you have qualified people and you've got Gary Anderson back? Wouldn't you rather keep continuity and run the same defense you've been running, the one that for 3 years these defenders have really learned? Because you got a bunch of players on that defense that now play fast and confident and know what they want to do. So common sense would tell you, if you have talent on the inside, then just keep doing what you're doing and expand it another year so that even more players have more years of experience in this. I think that's the direction things will go, and I think we're going to hear some things here in the next few days.
I hope we hear things about a certain safeties coach, just saying. Any concern that BYU has not heard the run it back from Bear Bachmeier or L.J. Martin, Evan Johnson, or Isaiah Glasker yet?
No, I think Bear, he's an interesting guy. You know how chill Bear is. You guys have been around. He's just chill, right? And I think Bear's probably thinking, why would I unless I'm coming back? I'm a freshman. Like, of course I'm coming back. Because we're not used to this, hey, run it back mentality. That was created largely by the coaches leaving and going and all the craziness that's happened with coaching staffs. And it's affected every program. Well, I won't say every program. It's affected BYU, Utah, Weber State, and Utah State now in terms of coaches and some players I'm sure are going to make their way to Michigan, but not at BYU. And I think because everybody's so concerned, there's some players that felt like, no, I'm going to let these guys know I'm here. You know, we saw several of BYU's secondary really, really important players like Satawala and Raider DeMooney, who people thought were targeted by Michigan, to say, no, I'm coming back. I like what's going on here. I like the trajectory. I like who they're talking about bringing in and giving the reins. So I'm here. So that was important. But I think Bear probably sits back and thinks, like, why would anybody think I'm going anywhere? So I think that's probably why you haven't heard anything from Bear. And then as far as LJ's not one that's considering going into the portal. He's like, do I go to the National Football League or do I come back? And that's his decision. That's a different one. So you don't say, hey, I'm in the portal. You say, I just had surgery on my shoulder. Let's see how healthy I get. Let's see what the projections are. Let me work with this coaching staff. They can help me decide whether this is a good move for me or not. And then I will make a decision. So I'm not concerned about LJ. Isaiah's kind of in the same situation. Do I have a high enough ceiling where I'm going to get drafted high enough that it makes sense? And in the NIL days, in the old days, it was, if you're going to get drafted at all, just go, right? Because you're not making anything here. But within the NIL era, it changes the game. If you're not a first, second, or maybe a third round draft pick, you got no guarantee of making the team. You have guaranteed NIL money when you come back to a university. If you're a late third round draft pick, you have a high probability of getting cut and not making any more money playing football, and then you can't come back. So it changes the dynamic, and players get as much information as they can, and if they feel like they're not up there, they'll come back, get some guaranteed money, and see if they can improve their status the next year. And then when you're a senior and you have no option, then you go and see if you can make it. So that's so different than it was just 3 or 4 years ago.
I love that we're in the run it back era, right? I mean, yeah. Wouldn't you love all your employees to text you every morning whether or not they're coming back to work today? Hey, I'm running it back today.
These NIL contracts typically have been one-year deals, and the coaches' contracts, except for the head coach, typically in college football, have been one-year deals. So they re-sign every year. Fortunately, in business, I don't have one-year deals with my people. They work for me until they leave or we get rid of them, right? So nobody has to tell me they're running it back or they're not. I did notice that Jeremy Spencer tweeted out that they're running it back, and I'm glad of that.
Yeah.
How many years of this is this for Sports Nation?
Too many. It's your this was football season 13.
13.
Yeah.
And think about how many shows in television, period, make it 13 years. How many for us in AFR, Dave? I know you know this off the top of your head.
I don't know.
After further review.
It's 12 years.
We're just all trying to beat 12 Cheers.
12 times 15.
You know?
Yeah.
Cheers, friends, music and the spoken word, all those.
It's so cool that we have been able to run it back, all of us, with BYU and be affiliated with it for so many years. And I'm glad that Spencer and Jeremy are running it back, and I'm glad that Dave and I and Nixon are running it back on AFR. And I hope that LJ and Isaiah run it back because it's great for us.
Yeah.
And I don't have questions about Bear. I think he's running it back. But I'll tell you what, if LJ finds out he's going to be a second round draft pick and one of the first five, then we need to just go, awesome, go, dude, congratulations, you're awesome. What you've done is amazing. That's how we have to treat that. So we'll see how that goes.
That's running it forward.
Do you think That's he right. would? Like, that was Todd McShay's opinion. Hey, he's a top five running back. My question with him is, I don't know if his speed's going to be quick enough to be a first three rounds kind of guy. Obviously, all his other skills, yes, he can block. He's a piston mover with those legs. Like, he is a tough cookie. I just think right now his 40 time would prevent him from maybe being a first three rounds draft pick. How do you feel about that?
It depends. And here's what we don't know. When you get off season, you start training for the combine. I call it training for the fashion show, right?
Yep.
Has nothing to do with football. Like, I always like, why don't we go watch some film on these guys and see if they produce on the field or not? And that's why you get guys that are low draft picks. Like, I don't know what Puka runs in the 40, but it's not crazy. Like, he wouldn't have been eye-popping running the 40 at the combine. But he's the best receiver in the NFL. Just go watch the film, for Pete's sakes. He was the best receiver in college football. We watched him make ridiculous catches. And so, like, he wasn't a first two-round draft pick because he didn't have the fashion show numbers. That's a little bit overrated, but it's the system they go with. And so I do think that, you know, LJ is a little slowed down, and this has a lot to do with it. If he went through the end of this season completely unscathed, didn't have to have surgery, was fully healthy to train from moment one 2 weeks ago to the NFL combine, probably a first two-round draft pick. But this sets him back with all of his training, and that's why he hasn't just said, I'm going, because it may cause him to be further down the line in the draft. This could be really good for BYU and maybe good for LJ too, as he can work on more of his game and be an even more of a sure thing next year. And remember, these poor kids don't come back and don't get paid anymore like the old days. Like, they're not eating peanut butter and jelly and driving a car.
Here we go.
You have to
cue the violin.
That you have to pull the fuel filter off, pull the nozzle off the fuel filter and blow in it to remove the clutter around the screen in the tank so that the car will run.
Blaine, again. Stop. You're having a flashback. Hold it together.
Yeah, it's terrible. And I also walked to school, up to campus, and back every day barefooted in the snow winter because I couldn't afford shoes.
Fortunately, you had violence.
The backup quarterback couldn't afford shoes. Jim McMahon and Steve and Robbie took all of them. That's crazy. Blaine, we appreciate the time. Thanks, as always. And
All right, guys. Yeah. Thank you very much. See Go Cougs.
That was a hot take. First two rounds, LJ, if he could have just trained. That's interesting to me.
Yeah. Why not? You're the offensive player of the year coming out of a Power 4 conference.
Yes.
If you're fully healthy, you should be there.
It just depends, if he has that measurable. And he's not wrong with Puka, who ran a 4.57, by the way, in our last combine that we ever did live, because now it moved to the league. But LJ's got all those skills. But the sense I'm getting is that he will return, which is – be massive news for BYU.
Be massive.
Let's go.
Big game Wednesday night at the Marriott Center. It'll be packed. Number 9, BYU, Arizona State. It's the Big 12 home opener. Pre-game coverage starts at 8 Eastern on BYU TV. And BYU Radio, the game tips at 9 on Peacock, which is NBC's streaming service, and you can also listen on BYU Radio.
After the break, what's at stake for women's basketball tonight on the road against Arizona, and where did men's basketball land in the newest AP poll? Headlines are after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. I'm Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. Let's get to today's headlines, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Men's hoops are up to number 9 in the new AP Top 25. They're also at number 9 in today's net. Cougars, one of 7 Big 12 teams in this week's poll, one of 4 in the top 10. That's the world we live in. ESPN's Joe Lenardi released his latest bracketology this morning. He's got the Cougars as a 3 seed. BYU hosting Arizona State Wednesday night.
A.J. DiBonsa was named this week's Big 12 Newcomer of the Week and was named to the Big 12 Starting 5 of the Week as well. He had 24 points, 8 boards, 3 assists last week in BYU's road win at Kansas State. He's on a 7-game streak of 20-plus points. Has averaged nearly 26 a game over that stretch.
Amazing. Women's basketball in Tucson tonight against Arizona. 8 o'clock Eastern time, coverage on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio. With a win tonight, the Cougars will exceed their win total from last season.
Wow. BYU football has 5 players that have been invited to play in college all-star games ahead of this year's NFL draft. Jack Kelly and Will Farron were each invited to play in the Senior Bowl. Nice. Chase Roberts and Carson Ryan invited to play in the Hula Bowl on Saturday.
Aloha.
And Chase Roberts and Austin Leousa were invited to play in the American Bowl.
Wouldn't it be awesome to be invited to play in the Hula Bowl?
It would be.
To go there?
We'll never know that.
Just
feeling.
Go stand there. Former Cougar lineman Caleb Etienne signing with the Vikings yesterday. I know it's the Vikings offseason, but it's always great to be signed. He'd been on the practice squad the last 3 weeks, and now he's on the regular list.
It's good to be wanted.
Yeah.
It's awesome. When we come back, which Cougars in the NFL have the best chance to win the Super Bowl? It's our Top 5 Tuesday next on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan, Dave McCann. Time for Top 5 Tuesday, the Top 5 Cougars in the NFL with the best chance to win the Super Bowl this year.
Because there are 5, and here's number 5, Brady Christensen. Now, he's not playing because he's on the injured list, trying to get healthy, but his Panthers are playing. And the Panthers are playing. They just got in, by the way. They're not bragging about it. They got in at 8-9, but they're in the playoffs. But they got to play the Rams on Saturday, so it's not going to happen. But he's got the 5th best chance.
I love Brady, but there must be no one else. Because the Panthers ain't doing jack squat.
No, that's not going.
But they get a home game. Good for them. Yeah. They can thank the Falcons-Saints game, right?
Love that division.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Number 4, Chris Brooks, Zane Anderson, and the Green Bay Packers. Now, shout out Cody Feger. 7th seed, finished the season 9-7-1. They play the 2 seed Chicago Bears. Ooh. Saturday at 8 Eastern. Brooks, by the way, last week, because they were playing some of the backups, 13 carries, 61 yards, did a nice job. Anderson currently on the injured reserve.
Bears-Packers, no, that's a playoff game.
In the playoffs,
it's gonna be freezing
awesome.
Cold, too, so that'll be fun to
watch. Not on my couch, it won't be.
Number 3, Fred Warner. Now, there's a chance Fred Warner could come back from that dislocated ankle,
amazing,
fractured ankle, because that's what they're talking about, but they might have to go a little deeper before we see Fred.
After last week, probably not.
They're gonna play the Eagles Sunday.
Fly, Eagles,
that's gonna be
fly.
Tough. That they're on the road playing the Eagles.
Yep.
They didn't look great against your Hawks.
Of course they didn't.
So they're number 3 on the list.
Yeah. Worst of luck to the Niners, can I say that? Love Fred, though, love you. Number 2, Kyrus Tonga and the Patriots. How about the Patriots this year? Mike Vrabel takes over. Drake May, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Kyrus Tonga is a key contributor. He's actually been a blocker, a fullback on some offensive plays. They play the 7 seed Chargers Sunday night at 8 Eastern. Best of luck to Kyrus Tonga in the playoffs.
The Patriots have a shot.
Yeah.
And so it's the post-Tom Brady.
Yes, Patriots. It is. And
they have to take a double take every time. Like, what?
Who
was in the game?
It's like, name a couple of their players. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. All right. Number 1, Puka Nacua. We believe he's got the best chance to win the Super Bowl because the Rams are the best team of the Cougars in the NFL. And Puka's been fantastic. The Rams are at the Panthers, so they got to go on the road.
That's a win.
And they got to get it done. But Puka's been great. 129 receptions. That's the most in the NFL. And then his yards, over 1,700, second most. He had a touchdown the other day. It was phenomenal. That might have been it.
What's wild is Jackson Smith and Jigba on my Seahawks. Unbelievable year. Puka had the same stats, basically, with one less game.
Yeah.
I mean, Puka, you could argue, I saw, offensive player of the year kind of metrics and data on this scatter plot. He could be the offensive player of the year in the NFL. Like, he's been that good.
Yeah, and he's about to get a contract, right? He's still, like, the cheapest player on the Rams right now. That's going to change. The Rams have a quarterback. They have a running game. They've got a defense.
Yep.
Of all the Cougars, I think the Rams have the best
chance. Normally, every year, we've said Andy Reid in this position. Chiefs didn't make the playoffs. Finally had a year where they didn't make the playoffs. Obviously, an ACL to Patrick Mahomes didn't help.
I saw his news conference yesterday. He looked very sad. It's like,
he doesn't even know what to do with himself. Normally has a full month of games to
They'll be back, though. They'll be back. He knows what he's doing. Hey, if you missed any of our interviews or our trending topics or any other BYU Sports Nation content throughout the week, you can subscribe to the BYUSN YouTube channel, and then you can watch whatever you want anytime.
Coming up, we wrap up the show and hear more from you on your boldest BYU sports take right now. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B. Jeremy Jordan, Dave McCann with you. Our question of the day, what's your boldest take about BYU sports right now? What are the people saying?
We got some great takes. Travis Tingey, professional leagues, the NBA and NFL, will be flooded with BYU athletes over the next 5 years, and the amount of good they'll do in their locker rooms, communities, and their leagues will be immense and profound. Provo is legit.
We've talked about Provo with men's basketball, but it's true. It's happening in all kinds of sports. I think the one that's underrated that we'll see it in is in the running community as BYU continues to produce great runners. Jane Hengren, probably going to be an Olympian.
Absolutely.
In L.A., 28, Riley Chamberlain and all of them. Fantastic. Can't wait for outdoor track season as well, which will be fun after the indoor track season.
All right, what do you got?
Ashton Snow. This is the absolute best spot BYU Athletics has ever been in. I don't think that's arguable. Even when BYU won the national championship in 84 and won a Heisman in 90, they weren't in power leagues as currently constituted. BYU's got the backing of donors and support from Salt Lake and everything. Like, everything's going great. Everything is – BYU's never been in a better spot. Highlighted by what football just did.
Right.
And A.J. DeBonson, this basketball team.
You know what's crazy is last year we were saying the same thing.
Yes, we were.
And then it got better.
Hey, Yegor Devin.
Now this year is better than last year.
11 wins.
Yeah.
It got better. Can it get better next year?
Here's Mac Jones. Why not?
A Big 12 title? Men's hoops, I'm not sure. But because this feels like about as good as it gets.
Yeah. And the other sports are all getting better.
Absolutely.
All right, BYU defense will be better in 26 than it was in 25.
Ooh.
That's from Mac Jean. And his bold statement.
Almost Valjean, right? Jean Almost. Valjean.
Yeah.
That would be awesome because I think BYU's been pretty stinking good the last 2 years. Let's go. Yeah. At Rowdy and the Rock, a frequent contributor to BYU Sports Nation. BYU football can win a national championship with Kalani Sitake at the helm. I would like to win the Big 12 first and then talk about winning a playoff game, and then I'll get to that space.
Right.
That's probably the boldest possible take you could make for BYU sports.
It's where you want to go, right?
But that's where you want
to
be.
Wants to go.
And where is BYU trending? They are trending in that direction.
Yeah. You're either going that way or this way.
Right.
You're going that
BYU's going that way, which is great. Our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory. Cosmo Kramer at BYU. I love a good GIF with it. In 2026, BYU will be the only university to earn trips to both the Final Four and the college football playoff. It's never been this attainable with BYU's amazing coaches, rock-solid culture, Big 12 membership, deep booster backing, and elite talent. It's coming!
See, now that's possible in 2026.
Could happen, yeah.
You have to win the Big 12 or at least be ranked high enough where if you get beat by Texas Tech, you still get in.
Or if they expand to 16, 16, Dave.
Yeah.
BYU could absolutely be 10-2, 10-3, 11-2, 12-1.
And this team be could in get it to the Final Four.
Absolutely.
All right.
Expand to 16, please. Today's Rising Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Shout out to the women's basketball program playing Arizona tonight. If they win tonight, it'll be their 14th win of the season. They won 13 all last season.
Wild.
Shout out to Lee Kumar and what he's getting done as the first year head coach. And by the way, BYU men's and women's hoops are combined 26-3.
That's pretty good. Our thanks to today's guest, Blaine Fowler. Sorry to Dennis Pitta. We ran out of time.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Dave, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Richard Harward. Women's hoops, get it done tonight. Go Cougs. We'll see you tomorrow.